Southern California Christian Students College Retreat, November 7 through 9, 2010. Big Bear, California. Conference title is The High Gospel. Message 2. Christ is the meaning of human life. Scripture reading Genesis 1:26, 2:9, Matthew 3:2, 6:31 through 33, 1 John 5:12, Colossians 3:4, and John 15:4a.
Oh, I'm just so happy to see all you guys here. Amen. I'm so happy to be here. Yes. Up on the high mountain. Yes. To see the high gospel.
Amen.
I know some of you have just come up this morning, or some came late last night. They just arrived. So I'll just cover a little bit what the beginning of this conference is on, what the first message is on, including the title of the conference. So let's all just say the title of the conference together.
Amen.
The High Gospel. Pretty easy.
Yeah.
The High Gospel.
Amen.
The brother shared last night. He said the High Gospel doesn't mean that there's necessarily a low gospel, but the gospel can be viewed as something basic. And the gospel is what? The good news.
Amen.
Which is a person, Christ.
Amen.
Christ is the real good news.
Amen.
Did you get the good news this morning?
Yeah.
Open up the paper, read the good news.
Right.
No. Christ is the good news.
Amen.
So, the good news is Christ.
Amen.
We all heard the good news. All of us here, hopefully, we have heard the good news that Christ, He became a man.
Yes.
He lived a perfect human life that was the mingling of humanity with divinity.
Amen.
Died for our sins on the cross.
Amen.
Accomplished redemption.
Amen.
Was buried, resurrected,
right,
as a spirit, so now that we can receive Him as our life.
Amen.
And now, we can give ourselves and be useful to the Lord for His purpose.
Amen.
This is the gospel. And so, there's a basic gospel, but this weekend we want to see a high gospel.
Right.
So I would even say in some of these messages, you know, I may be speaking like I'm speaking to you, like you don't know, you know. You may say, "Hey, he says you need to see, or we need to see." Well, that's because not because we need to see just this for ourselves, but we need to see this as a vision for the high gospel.
Amen.
We need to enlarge our vision, increase our vision of what the gospel is,
amen,
our appreciation. So, to continue from last night's message, I don't know if everyone has an outline, I know, but you just turn to it. The title of the message was, Man is the Meaning of the Universe.
Amen.
Man is the meaning of the universe.
Amen.
Without man, the universe has no meaning.
That's right.
No meaning.
Right.
So, man is the meaning of the universe. Man is the center. You know, there's that verse you see in point A talks about the heavens are for the earth is for man, and man has a spirit for God. This is the goal and meaning of the universe. You know, that verse in Zechariah, we probably heard it. God stretched forth the heavens. He laid the foundations of the earth. For what? Forming the spirit in man.
Amen.
And this brother brought out a good point last night about like a USC football game. You know, a lot of people come from all over. The stadium gets cleaned, the parking lot fills up, and they all pop their tents and start grilling. And so, what is it for? Is it just so they can just all come together and grill? Is that the meaning of their time together? The meaning is the football game. Meaning is the corporate battle. USC versus UCLA. But that's the meaning. So God stretched forth the heavens. He's just setting the scene. He's laying the foundation of the earth. He's setting the scene. Why? For the spirit in man.
Amen.
He formed the spirit in man.
Amen.
So man has a spirit to contain God.
Amen.
So man is the meaning of the universe. I would say we're VIPs. We're very important people. You know, there's a song we sang last night that said we're VIPs. I appreciate that. We're not trying to uplift ourselves, but we're trying to see what God sees concerning man.
Amen.
In God's Word, this is God's view concerning man.
Amen.
Man is the meaning of all creation.
Amen.
So he pointed out that you know, we saw in the creation and Genesis chapter 1, you know, it was just leading up to a climax. You know, day 1, good. God saw that it was good.
Right.
Day 2, God saw it was good. Day 3, God saw it was good. Keeps going higher. Oh, get ready. Here it comes.
Amen.
Climax is coming. You know, the meaning's coming. It's coming. Finally, day 6. Let us make man.
Amen.
And then he says, very good.
Amen.
So this is the climax.
That's right.
The meaning of the universe is man.
Amen.
So, there's a little side point that he touched, you know. The world today and the situation in the world tries to downplay man. And this is kind of under the authority of Satan. He tries to show that man really is meaningless. Even in our minds, we think, oh, I'm not worth that much. Oh, is life even worth living? Or they say evolution. Man is just one of the apes. He's just another one of the creatures. He's nothing special. Nothing special about man. But this isn't the vision that the Bible reveals to us.
Right.
So we see that man was made in the universe in a special way as a vessel to contain God and express God.
Amen.
This to contain God and express God and to represent God.
Amen.
And this will kind of lead us into today's speaking.
Amen.
To represent God.
Amen.
There were 8 points too. You know, I'm not going to speak these 8 points. Maybe if you weren't here, you could get with somebody that was. But there are 8 points that were mentioned that shows how precious, important, and valuable man is to God.
Amen.
So if you would like to see how precious, important, and valuable man is to God, get with somebody that has those 8 points.
Amen.
Okay, so this morning, we're going to come to message 2.
Amen.
Everyone sees message 2. Maybe we can just say the title together. Christ is the meaning of human life. Okay, say the first word. Christ. 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 Oh, human life doesn't have meaning without Christ. Oh, we have a hope. There is hope for a human life.
Amen.
It's Christ.
Amen.
Christ is the meaning of our human life.
Amen.
So without Christ, human life, I'll use these two words, is a bitter vanity. You hear people, sometimes you hear so-and-so, they just died today, they were 86 years old, you know, and they... This is what they gave their life for. At the end of the life, really, it was just bitter vanity. Just like a wind. And within themselves, just bitterness. Because there was no meaning. They were waiting for somebody to tell them meaning. They were pursuing all these different things. But there was no meaning to their life. So Christ is the meaning of our human life.
Amen.
And let's read the focus together. This is good to read the focus. This will give us a view for the whole message and see what we're getting into. So let's just read this. We need to repent of falling away from the dominion of God and return to God and seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness as we daily open to take Christ as our life. And learn to live by Him as our person. Christ will become the meaning and reality of our human life. So my focus this morning is these two words, repent and return. Now I appreciate the song by Brother Haragashi. I repent and now return. Grant my heart for You to burn. Nothing and no one can satisfy me but You, Lord, anymore. Jesus, my first love. So, we repent. We'll get to repenting, but one thing we need to see is in point A. Or let's read point one, and then point A after that. In His creation, God made man in His image and entrusted man with His dominion. To express God in His image, we need the divine life. And to represent God with His dominion, we need the divine authority. So we need divine life, and we need divine authority.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Divine life. You know, with the image in Genesis 1:26 corresponds to life in this point, and dominion corresponds to divine authority. So I just want to concentrate on this word authority. God wants to bring us under His authority. Okay? The Lord has authority. Authority in the universe. He created man with His dominion. That means He wanted man to have His authority. Man fell out of God's authority and under another authority, the authority of Satan. So now man is under a different authority, rebellion against God's authority. So what God wants us to do is to come back under His authority, so that we're under His authority, so that we can express His authority on the earth, so that God can once again have authority on the earth through man. But we can't express God's authority if we're not under God's authority.
That's right.
There's a story. There's two examples of this I'll give. There's a story of this 4-star general named McChrystal. And McChrystal, I don't know if you've heard about McChrystal before. He was the leader, the general in Afghanistan over the whole army. And McChrystal, you know, he commands the army to go here, commands the army to do this. Do that, no problem. Yes, sir. Right? Because he has the authority. One day, though, Crystal. Of course, who's Crystal's authority? McChrystal. McChrystal. Who's McChrystal's authority? Commander in chief. Obama. The president, right? So, one day, McChrystal says something not under the authority of Obama and against the authority of Obama. Obama calls him to the office, fired. No more authority. We're giving the authority to somebody else. Of course, you know, God is a lot more forgiving. This is the age of grace.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah. He's a little bit more forgiving maybe than the commander-in-chief can be. But this is what he wants us to be under, completely under His authority, so we can express Him in every way and represent Him with His authority on this earth. So, and another example I'll give you. We have, you know, I don't know if everybody has, but a Facebook account. Everyone loves Facebook. And Facebook is an expression of who you are in lots of different ways. Just an expression. When you go to someone's Facebook, you can see what they're doing, what they like, who they are, or what they stand for, even their thoughts by minute, what they're thinking, you know. And what if I told Lee, I'm going away to you know, Antarctica for a week, I don't know, somewhere I can't get internet access. I would like you to take care of my Facebook account for me. I'm giving you my username and my password. You just represent me, Lee. No?
Oh, no.
So Lee goes, you know, so maybe Lee tries. It's difficult because Lee doesn't have my life. It's hard for him to represent me because he doesn't have Nathan's life. He doesn't know what Nathan likes. He doesn't know what Nathan wants. So, you know, he goes into account, favorite color, pink. Right. You know? Favorite, I don't know, sport, rollerblading.
Ultimate Frisbee? Okay.
Friend. Yeah, friend that guy, friend that person. Yeah, whatever. Oh, unfriend you. You know? No, why? Because I gave him the authority. But when the authority is given, because, of course, Lee doesn't have my life, it's hard to represent. So the Lord has given us the way to represent him.
Amen.
He's given us his life.
Amen.
This is the way we can come under his authority.
Amen.
We have God's very divine life.
Amen.
By our divine birth, the Lord has entered into our spirit, regenerated us, and now we're a child of God.
Amen.
Now we have the way to come under his authority.
Amen.
Without God's life, in our natural life, it's impossible to be under the authority of God. Impossible. But we all have the capacity within us to come under his authority. So, I just appreciate this so much. And what are we coming under? So we're coming under the authority of God, but what are we coming out from? The authority of Satan. Okay, let's read B. In this mindset, let's read B.
What God wants is not materialistic, moral, religious, or even so-called spiritual people. God wants a group of people who express God and return to his dominion.
Amen. So there's materialistic, moral, religious, and even in so-called spiritual people. You know, maybe some of us are materialistic. I think we live in a materialistic nation where we want better this, better that, better clothes, better car, better house, better, you name it, better food. Oh, man. Hey, you going to home meeting? I don't know. What do they have? Better food. I want better food. But, you know, all these better things will turn bitter to us. If we are for materialistic things, they'll turn bitter. Because why? They aren't the meaning of a human life. Moral. Who doesn't want to be moral? Admirable. You know? Man, I admire Lee so much. He's such a good guy. You know? Moral. That actually isn't the meaning of a human life. To have good morality. Religious. To follow a set of rules, a set of standards to live by. It's not the meaning of our life. And also, even, I don't know if you're surprised by this, wouldn't it be good to say you're a spiritual person? I'm spiritual. I live by my spirit. I prayed before I bought that. You know? I'm spiritual.
Wow.
I pray. Oh, wow. It's pretty spiritual. But is that the goal? The goal is to return to his dominion. God wants a group of people to express God and return to his dominion. So, let's read point number one under that.
Because we have fallen from the dominion of God, we need to repent.
We need to repent. And maybe, you know, most of us have probably heard this word, maybe read it in our Bibles. But to repent is to have a change in mind, issuing in regret. Do we realize that we need a change of mind, a change of thinking, a change in the way our ideas are formulated, a change in the kind of concepts we have about our life, about the living out of our life, a change in what we know, even according to the truth. But to repent is just to have a change and regret. And so, what are we repenting to? You know, we repent, we're having a change, but what are we turning to? And, you know, this, to say repent and believe in the Lord, that's quite good. To say repent and be forgiven of your sins, it's good. But what is the first mentioning of the preaching of the gospel in the New Testament is by John the Baptist. And he says, repent for the kingdom.
Amen.
And so I would say our repenting in the high for the high gospel is repenting for the kingdom. Because God has a kingdom and He wants this kingdom to be on the earth. And so a quick definition of the kingdom is a realm, a sphere where the Lord can do whatever He wants, where the Lord can rule. But this kingdom that the Lord wants isn't just something natural and outward. This is an inward reality of life. This is the kind of kingdom the Lord is after. Subjective, living, organic. This is the repenting for this kind of kingdom. This is the kingdom of the Lord. So when I say we, of course I mean we all, but even as we speak the gospel, we want to touch people with the Lord to bring them to repent for the kingdom.
Amen.
Okay, let's read point C. So we're repenting for the kingdom to seek first the kingdom. In these verses that are here, Matthew 6:31-33. I don't know if you have your Bibles, you don't have to look it up and read it, but if you want to, Matthew 6:32 says, "For all these things the Gentiles are anxiously seeking." So that's before 6:33. Anxiously seeking. This can be our life without the Lord, without seeking the kingdom. We're just anxiously seeking. Maybe anxiously seeking good things. Anxiously seeking money. Anxiously seeking a wife. Anxiously seeking a husband. Anxiously seeking friends. A degree. A job. Well, that has to do with money. But there's an anxious kind of seeking in this world. But the Lord wants us to repent and turn to seek Him.
Amen.
So what are we seeking? He wants us to seek His kingdom.
Amen.
Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness.
Amen.
And so you will see through the outline that the kingdom, this verse, goes very well with Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. So image, that's God's righteousness. To be right with according to what God is and what God He wants, what He's doing. That's righteousness. Righteousness is Christ. So that Christ is the image of God, is righteousness. And that correlates to righteousness. Also, kingdom is dominion. And let them have dominion. So in Genesis 1:26, we have these words image and dominion, and that goes with kingdom and righteousness. But in a sense, they're a little reversed. It's like seek first His dominion and His image. So it's not seek first to express God as His image and then represent Him, but seek first to come under His authority.
Amen.
We have the life.
Amen.
Because we have His life, we can seek first to come under His authority.
Amen.
And His authority in us has a certain kind of living, a certain restricted living. There's another verse, Matthew 7:14. I don't know, it's not on here. You can write it down. It says, "Constricted is the way that leads to life." That's the gist of it. Constricted is the way that leads to life. And so this is just like the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The kingdom is a constricted way. This life in us wants to live a constricted way, to come under the authority of God, so eventually we can represent God in a proper way.
Amen.
So, okay, thank you. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Constricted is the way that leads to life.
Amen.
So, Lord, I have nothing and I know nothing.
Lord.
This is to repent.
Amen. Very good.
We think we know a lot. Even as young people, we think we know so much. Even about the Bible, you know, I'm the same way. But each morning even, Lord, I repent.
Amen.
I repent for the kingdom.
Amen.
I know nothing, and I just want you.
Amen.
This is to seek first His kingdom.
Amen.
So let's read point one here in the outline.
Here the kingdom of God equals God's dominion, and righteousness equals God's image.
So with this kingdom living, you know, this life wants to restrict us and to express God. So the restriction is in His kingdom for a certain expression in our living. I would say a big point with restricting with me is the way I speak and what I say. Sometimes, you know, it's like you're driving a car. There's certain lanes, you know, you're driving in, and you know, I'm good. And then you're about to say something, and it's like you just veered onto oncoming traffic. It's because you went outside the lanes of restriction of the life that we have within us. The Lord is restricting us according to His life to live a certain kind of life. So, praise the Lord that we have the way. There's hope. Christ.
Amen.
Christ is our hope.
Amen.
Let's go ahead and read point number 2 and B. A and B. 2 A and B.
First, we need to seek the
I'm going to just finish.
And then spontaneously, we
sorry, I was about to finish.
If
I was
like, we are born in spirit, okay. The kingdom of the heavens is ours.
Amen.
To be righteous is to be right with God, and to be right according to what God is.
So this says that if we need to seek the kingdom, and then spontaneously we'll have the righteousness. There's a spontaneous, automatic life in us that springs up once we seek the kingdom. And it says, if we are poor in spirit, the kingdom of the heavens in the future will become ours. No, it is ours. The kingdom of the heavens is ours. We have the kingdom. We're the expression of the Lord on the earth today with His authority. It is ours today.
Amen.
And let's read point C. I'm going to give the time over to Michael, but let's read point C, 3, and then the focus.
If we want to be right according to God, we will be persecuted because the whole world which lies in the evil one and is filled with unrighteousness, will rise up against us. If we seek the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God, He will give us His kingdom, His righteousness, and all of the things that we need.
Amen.
We need to repent of falling away from the dominion of God and return to God by seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. As we daily open to take Christ as our life and learn to live by Him as our person, Christ will become the meaning and reality of our human life.
Christ is the meaning
Amen.
Of human life.
Amen.
I hope we are sufficiently impressed with this title. Christ is the meaning of human life. We had a little gathering at Cal State Long Beach where I served with Nathan on Monday with some brothers. And at the end of our time, I asked one of the brothers, so, you know, what do you think? And he answered, it's all about Christ. Amen.
Amen.
It's all about Christ.
Amen.
But then I asked him, I said, well, brother, what does that mean? It's all about Christ. It's a good phrase. It's a good statement. It's a true statement. It's 100% correct. It's all about Christ. But what does that mean in our life? So I think this weekend, I think we really are doing our best to be one with the Lord to present the high gospel to not only to you, but to ourselves also. The high gospel. I liked Brother Stephen's use of the word basic rather than low. The basic gospel may be, you know, I'm a sinner or you're a sinner. You're under God's judgment. The sentence of sin is the wages of sin is death. Therefore, you need a Savior. Believe in Jesus and He'll make your whole life nice and good and save you from whatever. And that's right. That is correct. But that's very basic. We want to see much more this weekend.
Amen.
And I believe we had a good beginning last night seeing that man is the meaning of the universe.
Amen.
And you might say, well, that sounds like a very proud thing to say. How can you say man? Man is so important. We should be humble. You know, we shouldn't be so proud to say this sort of thing. Well, if you look at what God's view of man is, and that's what we're talking about, not our view of ourselves.
Right.
We're not speaking about ourselves. We're speaking about what's God's view of man.
Amen.
God said, very good.
Amen.
Very good.
Amen.
Man is very good. But why is man very good? Because man is created in God's image.
Amen.
And man was created by God to fulfill His purpose.
Amen.
So in the context of God's image and the context of fulfilling God's purpose, God's heart desire, man is very good.
Amen.
Man is the meaning of the universe. Now, I know all the brothers have given some good examples. I have one little example. I don't know if it's a very good example, but it sticks in my mind. I used to be in a home meeting in L.A., and a dear brother there had this giant, now I mean giant fish tank, massive, you know, and, you know, he bought it. And I don't know how much it cost a lot of money, and there it is in his living room. And the first thing was in was sand. Just sand. Just sand. Nothing else. Just sand. You know, you would come week by week. So, you know, he's working full time. This is his hobby. One of his hobbies. So it takes time to put it all together. But anyway, sand. So for weeks, there's just every Friday night, sand. And then, you know, eventually water gets put in. Water. Okay, sand and water. But every week, you're kind of like, well, come on, where's the fish? So little by little, this wonderful tank is made, and then in goes the rocks. The rocks go in. Wow, where'd you get that rock? How much? $100 for that rock? Right? So the rock goes in. And then the coral goes in. Right? And then actually not plastic seaweed, real seaweed. You know, like, wow. And then the light comes, the neon lights, the blue lights, the ultraviolet light, whatever it is, some sort of light. Lots of light. But week after week, you're coming, where are the fish? I see this tank, I see the sand, I see the rocks, I see the light. But there's nothing in there living. There's nothing swimming around. But eventually, praise the Lord, and we're not fish, okay? But eventually, the fish are in the tank. Wow! Now, there's the meaning of all of this. These beautiful, colorful fish, and of course the light brings out their colors. Not a freshwater tank, right? Salt water. So it's a lot more difficult and intricate, and you have to have the light, and you have to have the salt, and you have to have the air, and you have to have so many things. All of it is for these little fish to swim around in, right? Well, we're not fish, okay? But we are the meaning of the universe.
Amen.
God put it all together. He has a heart's desire. He has a hobby. His hobby is man. I love man. I love man so much, I'm going to make man in my image. Whose image is man created in? God's image. So never accept the lie from Satan that you are not important. In yourself, you are nothing. I am nothing. In ourselves. But in the context of God's economy, God's heart's desire, what is in the very heart of God, man is so important.
Amen.
There's a verse in Job. You can just write down the reference. Job 10:13. Well, our brother Job went through many experiences, many, many things. And at one point, you know, as a test, you know, Satan was allowed to bring a lot of calamity and heartbreak into his life. And Job is kind of wrestling with God, debating with God. But one of the things he says is, at one point in 10:13, "But you have hidden these things in your heart. I know that this is with you." You've hidden these things in your heart. God had a heart's desire. And you know, for millennia, that heart's desire was hidden. Even from man. In a sense, man, when he fell, he lost the knowledge of what he was created for. Today, how many people wonder, even in this room, how many of us have asked the question, what is the meaning of my human life? Hands up, because I've asked it. Right? So, you know, I would hope that most of us in this room are Christians, yet we ask the question, what is the meaning? Why am I here? Why was I saved? Why was I born into the church life, into this family? They love God. Oh. Right? Well, this weekend, the Lord is unveiling what is on His heart. And we may say, in anticipating tonight's message, Christ and the church is the meaning of our human life. So this morning's message, following on from Nathan, this morning's message is Christ is the meaning of our Christian life. Tonight we will say the church is the meaning of our Christian life. Man is the meaning of the universe. Christ is the meaning of man. And the church is the meaning of the Christian life. That's anticipating tonight's message, which will be an awesome message. This morning, we're looking and concentrating on these matters of Christ being the meaning of human life. Following what Brother Nathan said, this is really an important matter. Image and dominion. Genesis 1:26, we've already seen it. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion. That's what God wants. And I assure you, that's what God will get. God will get it. I hope He'll get it with me. I hope He'll get it with you. But even this weekend, perhaps there's a monumental choice before us all. What will we choose to give our lives to? Amen. What will you choose? Even after this weekend, you hear the high gospel, you see something, what will you choose? Well, God's choice for us is that we will be brought back to His original intent and purpose. Man in my image to express me, and man with my dominion to have my authority to rule for me and to subdue my enemy. Amen. That's the meaning of our human life. Amen. If we give ourselves to anything else, we fall short of the meaning of our human life. If we give ourselves to just the perfect marriage, the perfect family, the brilliant career, the, you know, 5 PhDs, much wealth, fame, all of these things, as Nathan shared, eventually you will end up with bitterness and vanity. Too many people who've taken that way at the end of their lives. What was it all for? As I end my life, as I look back over the course of my life, was it worth it? As I go into eternity, what will I take with me? You will not take fame. You will not take wealth. You will not bring your PhDs into eternity. The only thing that you can bring into eternity is Christ. Amen. How much Christ you have gained. How much Christ you have dispensed and ministered. That is why Christ is the meaning of our human life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So how about we just look now at the second half of this outline, and we could repeat the title, and it's because it's Romans 2 there together.
Christ is the meaning of human life.
Amen. Christ is the meaning of human life. Well, there's two references there. John 7:37 and 38 and 6:35, and I'll just read them. John 37 and 38 says, "Now on the last day, on the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink.
Amen.
He who believes into me, as the scripture said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water.'"
Amen.
So I just appreciate this picture. You know, the Bible is very fine in its choice of words. So there's this scene in the Bible. It's a festival scene. It's a great feast in Jerusalem. All the children of Israel have labored on the produce, on the good land. They've brought the fruit of their labor to the feast in Jerusalem. They've been celebrating all week. We may say in a good way, kind of partying, enjoying all week. But at the end of the week, on the last day, brothers and sisters, there is a last day for every enjoyment. There's a last day.
Amen.
At the end of the party at 3 a.m. or 4 a.m., you go home, you lie in your bed. Is that it? Is that what it's all for? Is this the meaning of my human life? Or, you get your degree. You graduate summa cum laude. You get the flowers and the cards and the photographs, right? But maybe still within your heart, is this it? All this work, all those exams, all those years. Now I have a piece of paper and no job. Is this it? Is this the meaning of my life? I worked so hard. I studied so much. What do I have to show for it? Christ is the meaning of our human life. Christ is the meaning of our college degree. Why do you go to school? Do you go to school to get a piece of paper? I mean, I understand there is something. Absolutely, we should aspire to get a degree or a diploma or a trade or some kind of skill. But what's that for? Is it for you? Is it for your job? Is it for your wealth? Is it for Christ and the church?
Amen.
At the end of 4 years, you may have a degree, but what if every day of those 4 years, you enjoyed the Lord on campus? You were in Bible studies. You were in appointments. You were preaching the gospel. 10 of your friends are now believers because you were on that campus.
Amen.
That has meaning. That will you will take into eternal life. They will welcome you into the eternal tabernacles.
Amen.
You know, so all of these things, I'm not doing good justice to this, but you know, whatever it is in human life, Christ and the church should be at the very center of our family life, our friendships, our finances, our career. This is the meaning, and this is what we're sharing this weekend. The high gospel. There's meaning to your life. There's meaning to you being on that campus, whether it's a UC or a Cal State or a community college or not. It's a trade school or whatever, culinary school. You have meaning because you know what the meaning of human life is. I'm here because Christ sent me here. I'm here because Christ is here. This is what we want to give ourselves to. Amen. So in this speaking, the Lord asked on the last day, the great day, the top day, the Lord knew our hearts. If any man thirsts, there's still that inward yearning, emptiness. What's it all for? Here I am smiling. I'm smiling. Click, click, click. But inwardly I'm still. The smile is on my face. But in my heart, what's it all for? Praise the Lord, we know.
Amen.
This weekend, the Lord is telling us, showing us, the meaning is Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. So he asked thirst. So I just say another thing as well, very important thing. Thirst is important. Thirst tells you, you need something.
Amen.
You desire something. Hunger. You need something also. You desire something. Well, we need to ask the Lord, Lord, increase my thirst. Not for the worldly things. Not for a career or fame or money. But increase my thirst for you. If any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. You want your thirst quenched? The way to have your thirst, your deepest thirsts quenched, is coming to Him.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And then 6:35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me. Again, we come to Him. He's our food. He's our drink. He's the air that we breathe.
Amen.
These are metaphors, but they show you how, show us how important Christ should be in our life.
Amen.
We need food. We need drink. We need air. Otherwise, no way to sustain our human life.
Right.
Well, no way to sustain our Christian life, our whole life, apart from this one as our real food, our real drink, and our real air.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So let's read A.
Human life apart from Christ is without God, and therefore without hope and goal.
Amen. Human life apart from Christ is without God, and therefore without hope and a goal. Ecclesiastes 1:2, Solomon, perhaps the wealthiest man that ever lived. If you read the account of his life, he had everything. He had, you know, I don't know, 1,000 concubines and wives. He had gold, you know, just mountains of gold. His wisdom was known throughout the world. Monarchs, potentates, they came to him. You want to know where wisdom is? You've got to go to Solomon. He had it all. Fame, knowledge, wisdom, wealth. You name it, he had it. But he says in Ecclesiastes 1:2, vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanity, all is vanity. What he's telling us there is, you have all that. If you don't have God, you've got nothing. You have nothing. I'll just give you two other references. Ecclesiastes 2:1 and 11. 2:1 and 11. I'll read them. I said in my heart, come now, I will test out pleasure, so taste enjoyment. But indeed, this also is vanity. He tried it. I tried all the pleasures, 1,000 concubines and wives, all the gold, everything. It's all vanity. Verse 11, then I turned to all the works that my hands had done and the labor by which I had labored in doing them, and indeed, all was vanity. Pleasure is vanity without Christ. Work without Christ is also vanity. This one knew. So human life, if we want to have a goal, a hope in our Christian life, in our human life, choose Christ and the church.
Amen.
Choose image and dominion.
Amen.
Okay, could we read B?
The human life is not capable of expressing God and not good for exercising God's authority. But the human life is good for one thing, that is for receiving the life which is capable.
Amen.
The eternal life of God.
Hallelujah. So the human life, it says, is not capable in ourselves. That's why Nathan pointed out, religion doesn't work. Religion is trying to do something for God apart from God. I adhere to a sacred set of rules and regulations. But you know, I try and I try and I try, and I fail and I fail and I fail. And eventually I just say, you know what? It doesn't work. I give up. Well, that's because religion in itself, and as Nathan pointed out, even spirituality in itself is not what God wants. And is not capable of expressing God or being brought under God's dominion. There's only one life that is capable. And that is the life of Christ. Who perfectly expressed God in His living? Christ. Who perfectly was under the heavenly rule and authority in everything that he did and everything that he said.
Amen.
Christ. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Christ is now our life.
Amen.
So this is why even every day it's so important we would begin our day, our human life day, by opening to this wonderful one.
Amen.
Every morning, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
That's why we say that together. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. 1 John 5:12. He who has the Son has the life. So in the morning when you're getting ready to go to college or go to work, he who has the Son has the life. You want to live that day? He who has the Son has the life. The meaning of that day is starts with he who has the Son has the life. Right? I personally like breakfast. I hate to miss breakfast. It's not a good day when I don't have breakfast. Right? Physical breakfast. That's how I get through my day. Right? But what about our spiritual breakfast? Many of us are, you know, oh Lord Jesus, in the shower, oh Lord Jesus, and out the door. Right? But what the Lord wants to bring us into more and more is a life, a habit, a practice. He who has the Son has the life. I can't start my day without taking a deep breath. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. I don't dare to go outside the door without breathing, without eating, without drinking, calling on His name. Little time in His Word. We need to cultivate this habit. And we'll see a little bit more before the end related to this. But he who has the Son has the life. The meaning of our human life is the Son of God. Amen. Okay. And then just there's a reference there to Philippians 3, 7 through 9. And Paul just there goes through his attainments in his human life. His background, his genealogy, you know, Hebrew of Hebrews, Pharisee of Pharisees, as, you know, zealousness, righteousness exceeding that of the Pharisees. But then he says this very wonderful thing, but what things were gains to me? These I have accounted as loss on account of Christ. We don't have time to develop it this morning, but you just look at this one, very highly accomplished person. Actually, very religious person. But in his religion, he was actually frustrating God and his economy. Eventually, the Lord had to intervene directly. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? See, it's possible to have a religion, but not have Christ. We don't want to be religious people merely. We want to be Christ man, full of Christ. He who has the Son has the life. That's the life we want to lead and pursue after. Okay, C. Can we read C?
We need to take Christ as our life by breathing in Christ, drinking Christ, and taking Christ in as our food.
Amen. So, breathing Christ, calling on the name of the Lord, drinking by calling, praising, singing, thanking, right? So how? How do we drink? Well, we drink by calling.
Amen.
Call upon the Lord. Praising. Lord, I just praise you. My day ahead of me may be good or bad. I may have a midterm. I may have a final. I may be in a difficult situation. But Lord, I praise you.
Amen.
That's to take a drink. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for another day.
Amen.
Thank you for another opportunity to gain a little bit more of you. Very good way to drink in the morning. Eating our Bible, as Brother Daniel shared with us, right? We can feed upon the Word. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Many of us would not, you know, we wouldn't leave the house without eating something. Well, how about we practice, learn to eat God's Word every morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. The references are all about eating, drinking, and breathing. In John 20:22, he breathed into them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So he's our breath. 4:14. Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him.
Amen.
Right? I hope we're all drinking our water this weekend. We need to drink on the mountain. But that should remind us. We need to drink. Right? Drink. Every time you take a drink, maybe we could just say inwardly, oh, Lord Jesus, thank you. I can drink you.
Amen.
When I go back down the mountain, may I not stop my drinking. Amen. And then 6:51 talks about, I am the living bread. If anyone eats me. Okay. And then one verse, maybe I could just send a little minute. John 6:57. As the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he shall live because of me. I would just underline, circle, highlight that verse. I would encourage you, spend some time, sometime today or tomorrow morning. So he who eats me, he shall live because of me. Our human life is incapable of image and dominion, of authority, kingdom and righteousness. Image and dominion, kingdom and God's righteousness. But he who eats me,
Amen.
You eat me, you eat dominion.
Amen.
You eat me, you eat authority. You eat me, you eat image.
Amen.
How can we express this one? Well, the best way is to eat. Right? Not a bad example, but just a little example. You know, if you eat enough carrots, right? What happens if you eat enough carrots? You turn orange. Really? I wouldn't recommend as an experiment, but you can if you want. Probably won't do. But if you eat carrots enough, your hands will start going orange. Your face, your complexion, the whites of your eyes will have a little orange tint. You become a carrot by eating carrots. Okay, that's the bad analogy. But you become Christ
Amen.
By eating Christ.
Amen.
I want to become Christ.
Amen.
Christ in His expression. Christ in His ruling over all the situations. That's what we want to do. You know, there's a wonderful scene in John chapter 6. The disciples are in the boat. The boat is on a stormy sea. The wind is against them. They're trying to get to the other side. And they're like in panic. How am I going to make it? What am I going to do? Maybe they're very anxious. Right? But what happens? Then the Lord comes across, walking on the water, over the waves. Right? And of course, there's a scene where he invites Peter to come out. Peter goes out looking at the Lord, takes his eyes off the Lord and sinks. But eventually, it says, they invited him into their boat. And immediately, it says, they were at their destination. So what does this scene tell us? Well, first of all, it tells us that Christ is able to walk upon the waves of the stormy sea of life. Everything is underneath his feet. Do you have ever the sense when you read the Gospels that the Lord was subdued by anything? Apart from maybe our opinion in John chapter 11. But in the Lord was reigning over every circumstance. All the storms, all the waves were underneath His feet. Well, we need to take Him into our boat. Even first thing in the morning, Lord, come into the boat of my day. Come into my heart. Come into everything that I'm facing today. Thank you. Everything I face today is underneath your feet.
Amen.
And thank you, you're in my boat.
Amen.
And I'm in your boat.
Amen.
This is the way to have a Christian life
Amen.
With image and dominion.
Amen.
This is the way to have a human life.
Amen.
The top, highest human life
Amen.
Is the Christ life.
Amen.
Okay, could we read 1 and 2? 1, let's read 1.
Christ was to be man's life.
Amen. Very good. Okay, 2.
God created us with the human spirit as the receiving origin to receive God Himself into us.
Amen.
As our very life.
God created us with a human spirit.
Amen.
No other creature apart from man has a human spirit, has a spirit.
That's right.
Monkeys do not have a spirit.
Right.
Man does not come from monkeys. Okay? And that is, as was mentioned last night, that is a lie of the enemy to demean man and to bring man down to the level of the animals. We are not animals in that sense. We are after God's kind.
Amen.
We did not descend from monkeys.
Right.
We have a human spirit. We were created by God to contain and express God. Amen. Three. We all have to practice one thing.
That is not to live by ourselves, but to always live by Christ.
Okay. Underline or highlight practice. We all have to practice. Okay? We are not expecting at the end of this weekend that you are all just perfect specimens of taking Christ as our life and under image and dominion, or expressing image and dominion. But we all need to practice. As we're on the journey of our Christian life, may we never graduate from the school of Christ. Practicing, learning, always learning. The day you think you've arrived is the day you stop growing in the Lord. So I just would encourage you, don't be discouraged. Don't take the enemy's lies. Keep practicing. And when you fail, praise the Lord.
Amen.
His precious prevailing blood is there so that you can immediately confess, repent, and come back and get on track again.
Amen.
Okay? Okay, can we read four? We need to open
up ourselves all the time and call on His name. Then we will see that He is the instant, present, up-to-date, moment-by-moment Christ.
Very good. Open up all the time, call on His name, and He is the instant, present, up-to-date, moment-by-moment Christ. Very short little interjection here. One of Satan's tactics is to either cause you to live in the past or to live in the future. Either, oh, if only, you know, I was so zealous a year ago. I had that big turn in Poland, I was baptized, and now look at me. Oh, if only I could get back to that time. Or, you know, tomorrow. I had a failure today, so tomorrow. Next week. Next month. When I graduate. When I do this, when I do that, we're always looking to the future. And we miss the now Christ. We miss the instant, present, up to date, moment by moment Christ. That's Satan's tactic. Enjoy Him today.
Amen.
Our brother's word. Do not be anxious. The Gentiles are seeking for this, seeking for that. Anxiety. Oh, what will happen to me? Will I graduate? Will I get an A on every test? What will happen? Anxiety. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness and all these things. Don't be anxious about your marriage. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Don't be anxious about your finances, your mortgage, your this and your that. The promise from the Father. The promise from the Father. Seek first. Not second, not third. Not at the end of the day. Seek first.
Amen.
Seek first.
Amen.
When I get up in the morning, seek first.
Amen.
Seek first. But I've got a test. I've got a quiz in 2 hours' time. I've got to study. Seek first.
Amen.
Take 10 minutes. Lord, I'm so anxious. But Lord, in You there's no anxiety.
Amen.
I just put aside all of that anxiety just to be with You.
Amen.
Seek first.
Amen.
And all these things. Right? Or, you know, you're one of these study people. Study, study, study. I can't come to the mountain trip. I can't go to the Bible study. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't make the home meeting. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. Seek first.
Amen.
Seek first. All the other things will be taken care of. You take care of all the other things, you'll miss the now Christ. You'll miss Christ. And one day, I assure you, there will be regret. There will be, what was it all for? I had so many opportunities in university, college, and now I've graduated. I got the degree. Wow. But I still feel so empty. Seek first. And all these things. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, which is Christ.
Yes.
and all these things will be added to you. Believe this promise, saints. Practice, pray, read, open to the Lord. Lord, I choose this. I agree with this. I amen this. Forgive me that I have so much anxiety. Forgive me. You know, the Lord said to the church in Ephesus, you have works, you have labor, you have endurance, but I have one thing against you. You have left your first love. So many things, so busy, so active, doing so many things, but I have one thing against you. You have left your first love. Okay, let's read. Oh yes, and one other point then. Don't miss the now Christ. Now, the reference here to Lamentations 3, 55 and 56. I'll read it. I called upon your name, O Jehovah, from the lowest pit. You have heard my voice. Do not hide your ear at my breathing, at my cry. What a lovely little two verses. But I would like to impress you with this. Sometimes you're so low, you think you can't come to the Lord. But the Jeremiah says here, I called upon your name, O Jehovah, from the lowest pit. There's no pit that you can go into that's so low that you cannot call out. Lord Jesus! Amen. Lord, help me! Amen. Do not hide your ear at my breathing, at my cry. Don't believe the enemy's lies. You're too low. You're too far gone. Lord Jesus, just turn right then. Enjoy the now Christ. Like Paul, forget the things which are behind. Get back on track. Get into image and dominion. Call upon this one. He will not hide his ear at your crying, at your calling out to him, even from the lowest pit. Okay, because of time, let's read D.
We need to take Christ as our person by abiding in Him, living in Him, and loving Him. If we take Christ as our person, we will spontaneously express God and represent God.
Okay, this is the last point that I'm going to stop. But this is a further, higher development than just taking Christ as your life. Very good, Christ is our Savior. We've seen much already this weekend, taking Christ as our life, as our power, as our means, as our strength, as our light. But you know what? Eventually, God even wants to bring us to the point where we take Christ as our person. It's not, so I think what was the example? That was very good, spiritual. I prayed about it before I bought it. Right? I prayed about it before I bought it. Very good. I prayed about it before I bought it. I prayed about it before I bought that new Lexus. Amen. Well, great. Wonderful. But who bought the car? Or who bought the stereo or the iPod or the new video game or whatever? Who bought it? I prayed about it before I bought it. Well, you know, eventually, the Lord wants to bring us to the point where you go, Lord, are you buying that? If you're buying it, I'll buy it. If you're not buying it, I'm not buying it. Lord, are you going to the home meeting? If you're going to the home meeting, then I'm going to the home meeting. You're my person. You're my person. I don't have a preference. I love you. I just want to be with you. Wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever you want, right? So, you know, some of us have or are in love, right? And, or maybe we're married. And certainly when we were courting, we just wanted whatever you want. Yeah, I hate pink, but you like pink? Great. Right? You like dark chocolate? I can't stand dark chocolate. But I will buy you dark chocolates. I'm giving you examples. You know what love makes us do, right? We're just with that person. You want to watch that movie? Not that we're from watching movies, but you know. You want to watch the movie about the babies? Oh, okay. Let's go to watch the movie about the... You know, we do things to please the person that we love. We put aside our preferences, whatever you want. Wherever you go, you're going to be there, I'm going to be there. She's going to be at the bonfire. I'm going to be at the bonfire. I'm just giving examples in our experience. Well, okay, you know, it's less the case now, but, you know, a traditional wedding, usually in a traditional wedding or a very traditional wedding, the bride has a veil, right? A veil to cover her hair. But if you look at some, you know, quite fundamental weddings, even the bride's face initially until she comes to the altar is veiled. Well, part of the significance of that is that when the audience are looking at the couple, they only see one head. One head and one covered. And the significance, the sweetness of that is that the bride loves her husband so much that she takes him as her head. You're the head. I don't have a head. I don't have a preference. I don't have an opinion. I take you as my head. That's a lovely picture. Well, the application is us. Lord, I don't have a head. I don't have a preference anymore. You're my husband. I love you. I love you so much. If you're going to the meeting, and I know I need to study, but if you're going to the meeting, I'm going to drop my studies, and I'm going to go to the meeting. And I know you will take care of everything, because you're the head. You're in control. This is where the Lord wants to bring us, our person. We're driving in our car, and I'm talking to myself now, driving our car, and I'm... Well, eventually, it's not even, Lord, drive with me. Lord, you drive the car. You have a particular way that you drive the car. You like to stay in the speed limit. You like to stay in one lane. You're not bothered one bit if you're stuck behind a truck for 30 miles. You're just, I love the Lord, I love the kingdom. That's the Lord. The Lord's life, the Lord's person. No anxiety, no frustration, no impatience. His driving manifests God. Whoa, who's driving that car? God's driving that car. Christ is driving that car. Well, that's taking Christ as our person. Sisters, you go into the department store. Oh, I really like that dress. But what about your husband? Does he like that dress? Would he like you to buy that dress and wear that dress? If the answer is yes, then praise the Lord. That's what we do. But if he goes, you know what? I don't like that dress. Then maybe we don't buy the dress. You know, my wife sometimes will check with me. How do I look? Do you like it? And, you know, most of the time I'll say, yeah, you look lovely. It's very nice. But sometimes I go, well, come on, be honest. I think there's plenty of wives in the audience who know that, that have heard that, right? Well, my wife will go and change. You know, I'm dressing for you. I want you to be happy with what I'm wearing. So this is taking Christ. He's our husband. Brothers, Christ is our husband.
Amen.
Christ is our husband.
Amen.
So this is where this is the high gospel. Not, oh, I need a savior. Oh, Jesus saved me. Now I just do whatever I want and someday, praise the Lord, I'll be in heaven. That's basic. That's low. But eventually, Christ is our life. Christ is our person. And we are fully under. That's what his dominion is. His rulership. His headship. You're the head. I don't have a preference. Now, we all have preferences, so don't, you know. But the point is, we practice. Practice taking the Lord. May the Lord remind us all, hey, I'm the husband. I'm your head. And I want to be your person. Okay, let's read the focus together. Amen. Amen. Could we just stand up and read the last phrase together again? As we daily open. As we daily open to take Christ as our life and learn to live by Him as our person, Christ will become the meaning and reality of our human life. Okay, let's just take 30 seconds to pray with our neighbor for this message and then we'll have some direction what to do next. 30 seconds with our neighbor. Amen.